that we share with you will be a help to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you set the tone by calling in your questions. Your question serves as a subject matter that allows us to go into God's Word and find the answers. And so we encourage you this day, this very moment, to call in your questions right now. That number is 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. And we will do our best to let the Bible speak. Now, from time to time, I'll use that phrase, we'll do our best, because sometimes the questions that come in are not questions that we can find answers for in the Bible. So sometimes our listeners, they have done deep study, and their questions are very broad, and sometimes their questions are very finite or very specific, and we don't have an answer, and so, or we don't know an answer. And so, again, we'll apologize up front if we just don't know the answer. But your question sometimes serves as a mean for us to be able to go back and study. And so in that way, you are helping us. But there are questions that come in that there are answers for in the Bible. And a lot of the questions, the majority of the questions are in, there are answers in the Bible. The Bible contains all the answers that pertain unto life and godliness. So those things that matter concerning life and godliness, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, those things can be found within the pages of the Scriptures. And that's what we seek to do on every broadcast, is to go to the Scriptures and find those answers. So we encourage you once more, go ahead and call us right now, 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564.
Now's your chance. There is one line available, and we do want you to be aware that we are doing our best to be able to get everybody through. And so if by chance you call and the line just keeps on ringing, let it ring here at the station, because eventually we'll be able to get to you and thus be able to get your question on the air today. And so please don't give up. Be patient with us, as we can only talk to one person at a time. We want you to know also that we have an operator standing by to receive your information, and we will be glad to send the Bible Correspondence course to you if you desire to receive that. The course itself that we will send to you in the mail actually will cover things most likely that you have never heard before. That is, if you've never taken the course or you're new to this broadcast. And thus, it is important that we see what God has to say on every subject that pertains to life and godliness. Now, that operator is standing by right now at 553-5157. Now, we want everybody to know that you can encourage your relatives out of town or people that you know or your friends to tune into this as well. We have people in Australia that actually tune in. So anywhere in the world, you can go to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, and you can tune in, and they will be able to, by hitting the live stream button, be able to listen to this broadcast live right now. And so be sure to give them a call. Let them know to get on the internet and to tune in to the program right now through the website, www.BibleAlone.com. Or if they have a smartphone, they can download an app called the TuneIn Radio, and thus be able to search out for this radio station, WJNI, in Charleston, South Carolina. And they can join us through their smartphone. But by all means, let's make certain that we give everybody that we know an opportunity to hear the answers from God's Word. We live in a day and a time where answers are coming from anywhere and everywhere, but not necessarily from God's Word. And so what we want to do is let the Bible speak, let God speak concerning the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. Those lines are available right now. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have Sam that called in a question last week that we were not able to get to because of the number of calls that came in at the end of the program. And so let me encourage you to go ahead and call in your question right now if you want your question answered live on today's broadcast. And thus, we won't have to carry it over to next week. Sam's question last week was, is it a sin for a spouse to become celibate without the consent of the other spouse? Well, I would direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we will see the answer to this. Now, before we read this, let me go ahead and assume, let you know, that this is talking about two that are rightly married together. That is, a man and a wife that have never been married before. They are married, and they have the right to one another in this capacity. And so that's 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 1 says, "Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife affection due her," or which is owed to her, "and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent, for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." And so there he makes it very clear that in the marriage union, that our bodies is supposed to be given to our spouse in this capacity, and we need to make certain that we do not deprive the other, unless it is with consent. Your question says without consent, and so obviously with consent to devote yourself to whatever tragedy is upon you right now because of that would cause you to fast and pray. Usually that was the motivations in that first century. And so you want to make certain of that. And so that is the right exercise only to occur in a rightly married husband and wife. Now, the reason I emphasize that so much today is because there are so many marriages that are not right in God's sight. Read 1 Corinthians 19, verses 3 through 12 to find out about that. And what did I say? I'm sorry, thank you. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, and then you'll be able to see what I mean there. Thank you, Sam, so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. Now, the number to call us for your question is 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. And by the way, those of you that are out of town and are listening via the Internet, notice down at the bottom of the page, there is a block that you can fill out, and that block is a way to text us there live via your, it'll be on your Internet, but actually it will come to our cell phone. And so that's a service that we provide as well, and all of this is free of charge, as well as the correspondence course that we send in the mail. Everything we offer is free of charge. We're glad to serve, glad to give you the treasure in God's Word. There's one line available, 308-9564, and then there's our text line, 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
I do. We have a call coming in today. It says, here's a person that's engaged, and they're living together, so the two individuals are living together, and it sounds like she wants to move out, thinks it will help the relationship. He says, what does the Bible say? Well, we sure appreciate you calling in this question. So typically when we hear the language of we're living together, we typically refer to that or we think of that as you're sharing the bed. And so if there are two individuals that are not married and they're sharing the bed, a single bed, then that would be a problem. And that comes out of Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 13. The Bible says, let us walk honestly as in the day and not in rioting. And drunkenness, not in chambering. And the idea of chambering is like sharing a bed is the idea. Now, some of your translation may say lewdness and lust. And so what you'll find in the King James, really the word that's translated there carries with it the idea of sharing a bed, or as the old folks used to say it, shacking up. And so we don't want to do that, and the Bible doesn't support that idea. And tells us not to do it. Now, you also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, kind of the same type of language where Paul's addressing the male and female relationship and talking about how that they should make sure that, you know, they're not doing anything they're not supposed to. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." And so in order to engage in the privileges associated with marriage, a person actually has to be married. And so it would be absolutely appropriate if you guys are doing something like that to stop that and for her to move out. Further, if you want to help a relationship as you're looking towards marriage, let me give you a couple other passages just to look at. I would read all of 1 Peter chapter 3, and then I would also look at Ephesians chapter 5. Both of those passages talks about the husband and wife responsibility. And so as you're thinking about joining yourself to someone, make sure you join yourself to someone that can accept the responsibilities of their role in the marriage. Again, that was 1 Peter chapter 3 and also Ephesians chapter 5. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. It is time for us to take our first break. While we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. Now, if you prefer to text your question in, you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. We also have a website that's available to you. We mentioned this earlier. But you can go to that website and download material. You can go to that website and you can actually stream the broadcast. You can listen to previously recorded broadcasts. Now, that website is www.BibleAlone.com. That's www.BibleAlone.com. In this first break, we'll tell you a little bit about the Bible Correspondence course that we have to offer to you. Listen closely if you or perhaps a friend or even a family member that you know of would be interested in being able to study the Bible in their home and grow their knowledge. Then pay close attention and then do what you're instructed to do as a result of this break. We'll be right back.
The verse says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And his question is, what does devour mean here? And, you know, Ben, it's been a long time since I looked up that word, and I'm so glad that you asked me to do that again because it's really an interesting word. It's a compound word which is made up of these two parts. One, to drink down, and two, a lot, or big gulp. I think some convenience markets today have actually capitalized on that concept and created a drink called the Big Gulp. And that's exactly what this word is meaning. And, of course, what the roaring lion, what the devil is trying to do, is to drink us down, to make us into a big gulp, I mean, to be done with. And so, literally, the definition here, thing is the problem, or that's where the problem is. He's going to do everything he can to take us down. And so, yeah, that is what the devil is doing. He is seeking a way to be able to drink us down and devour us entirely to where that there is nothing left. Those of you that are a fast drinker like myself of beverages, my wife marvels at how soon I can drink a cup of coffee down or some others. Well, that's what the devil is doing. He can drink us very quickly if we give him that opportunity. So we cannot. We've got to be vigilant, ever watchful, because our adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he can devour. Thank you, Ben, so much for your question. I believe we have another caller. Sam's standing by, and he has a question concerning Psalms 139 and verse 7, if I'm not mistaken. Sam, let me make certain, are you there? We're trying to get it all worked out to hold on. Are you there? Okay, 1 second. We're trying to work out the difficulties. 139 and verse 7 is the question that we have written down to bring into us. And so
I'll go ahead and read this verse while we work through trying to bring him live on the air. In Psalms 139 and verse 7, it says, so here you have a passage where the question is, where can I go, essentially, and escape the Lord or the all-seeing eye of the Lord? That's the idea. And so it says, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me from you.
It's supposed to be 137 in verse 9, so it's miswritten.
Okay,
there.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay, but that was a good passage, 139 verse 7. You know, all of God's word is good. Okay, so Psalms 137 and verse 9. Psalms 137 verse 9, we're still trying to work out what's necessary in order to bring Sam live on the air, but we'll go ahead and read Psalms 137 and verse 9. It says, happy the one who takes the dashes and little ones against the rock.
All right, Sam, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we can hear you. Hooray, got it together here.
Well, what I was trying to figure out was this during the time of war, because people did many things, especially the Jewish people. They would throw their kids over the, I think it was Masala, they would throw their kids over there so the Romans wouldn't get them, you know, over the cliffs. So are we talking about that time or what have you?
Well, the context seems to start by making reference to Babylon. If you look in the first verse, is by the river of Babylon.
Okay.
There we sat down, yea, we wept. And then as you look through, it talks about the captives in verse 3. For there are those who carry us away captive, asked of us a song. And so, if and again, not really spending a lot of time with this, it seems to suggest that this was a time where they were captives in Babylon. And as a result of that, you have kind of this psalm that is written. He says in verse 7, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who says, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed? Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. So it sounds like the position is from someone who was in Babylon in captivity, who had suffered. And they said, happy is the one that repays you, that is to say, repay Babylon. Verse 9 then applies in that context. Happy the one who takes the dashes, your little ones, against the rock. And so it sounds like the person or the one, because the one who brings vision, vengeance on anyone is God. And so it sounds like this psalm is written in the direction of vengeance coming upon Babylon, to include, yes, their young ones as well.
Does that help?
Go ahead.
Does that help? Go ahead.
Well, it helps, but raise it. What do we talk about raise it? What do you mean raise? Raise it.
That means destroy, to totally destroy, to take away. They can raise a house, raise a building. That means they're going to tear it down and destroy it.
Okay, well, thank you for helping me out there.
You're welcome, and thank you,
sir,
for your call, and thank you for listening week after week. And by the way, we sure would love an opportunity. Okay, I hung up, but hopefully you're still listening, and that we would love an opportunity to sit down with you and to meet with you in person sometime. If you would call the operator standing by and make those arrangements, you're a longtime listener, and we would just be thrilled. We could meet for a cup of coffee or be able to meet you in a location that you would like. Just let us know, and we would make that opportunity occur if you desired it. And just call the operator standing by at 553-5157, and she will be able to make all the arrangements for me to get in touch with you. Thanks so much, Sam. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI.
We have a text question coming in. The last three digits is 597. It says, missionary, since the perfect in the form of God's word has already come. And so they're making reference to what we can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, verse 9, 10, in that area, where it talks about the perfect coming or the complete, that which comes to completeness by contrast to partial revelation. We have completed revelation in the word. And so that's the idea here. It says, since the perfect in the form of God's word has already come, then do we have a need for missionaries? It seems as though even the most radical in other in parentheses it says false religions around the world have read the Bible, even though they only read the Bible to attempt to discredit it. So why do we need missionaries when God's word is already available in many languages? And so we do appreciate your question. And so we do realize that God's word is available by way of the scriptures, the Bible. And when I try to look up that word missionary, well, that is not a biblical word. So that you don't find that word in the Bible. And you know, I guess I've heard it so much over the years, I almost thought it was there. But I'm going to assume that when you say missionaries, you're talking about those who would go forth to various lands to carry the message of the gospel, those who go out and evangelize. Perhaps that's the idea. And so why do we still need them since God's word has already been translated in languages, and so folks should have what they need in order to obey? There's an interesting occurrence in Acts chapter 8, where a gentleman was actually reading the word of God. And still, although he was reading it, he did not understand it. And I would suggest that that's the reason why people still need to go out and evangelize or to share the message, even to those who speak different languages. In Acts 8th chapter, you have the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And as he was reading it, he did not understand. The Bible says in verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he says, "How can I unless someone guide me?" And he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. And so it gives that reference in Isaiah. It ends by Philip in verse 35, opening his mouth and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And so we're going to always have those situations where people may be able to read the Bible, but they don't understand it, and they need someone to help them in their study of the scripture. I hope that's been helpful. 308-9564. I believe we have a live caller standing by.
Lutala.
Yes,
Lutala, are you there?
This is Lutala. Yeah,
yes.
I'm still here.
How can we help you?
Yes, I was calling to ask about the origin of the Bible. Okay, before the 16th century, when Martin Luther, who was previously the former Catholic, and came out with his 95 or whatever number of theses he had, and where he didn't agree with some portion of the Bible was in existence, even some books in the Bible that we Catholics practice now that some people feel should not be part of the Bible. But there were books in the Bible before the 67 or so that's recognized by most Protestants now. So how do you define that this is the only books that's in the Bible when there were some writings and books that were in the Bible before these that are commonly recognized by most Protestants? So why would you say that this are the only true books rather than the ones that are recognized by Catholics and sometimes even recognized by the Jewish Antiquity Association?
Okay. Well, good question. It's been a while since I guess we've answered that on the air, and so let me just give you some guidelines to be able to discern that yourself. There were certain markers that they look for and that we should look for. For example, thus says the Lord. Okay, is that in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all the way through the Bible. Well, that's not in any of those extra books. Thus says the Lord is not in those books. By the way, Latalo, have you read those extra books?
Yes.
You have. You've read through all of them.
Yes.
Okay, all right, and that's one thing you didn't see. You didn't see, thus says the Lord.
But in some of Genesis, you don't see just as the Lord either in Genesis, but recognize that.
Again, that's a guideline that is used, and it's all the way through the Bible. But then there is another guideline, the idea of it saying it's inspired of God. You know, that this is the word of the Lord. Well, that is something else you do not see in those extra books. And so those were two main markers there. And plus, if you've read through those books, you will recognize that even the language, the actual approach of it is entirely different than what you read in the 66 books that we have in our Bible. And if we're going to do a critical examination of extra books, there's another set of books out there that you probably are aware of called pseudographia, which means false writings.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they were created by men. Some of them are old books. Some of them are not so old books. But the newest thing written in the Bible is right at 2,000 years old. The book of Job, some have estimated to be well over 4,000 years old. And so as you look and see the unity that is within those 66 books, that also is an evidence of these books. Well, such unity is not displayed in those extra books that some call the Apocrypha. And so that's one reason why that. Plus, when you look and see who it is that verified those books are proclaimed those books to be included in the Bible. I have nothing wrong with those books. Those are old books that are contained in the Catholic Bible. And by the way, the Catholic translation is a pretty good translation. I have nothing bad to say about that. But those extra books, they don't claim to be, they don't quote the Lord. And the only reason why they're included in those books is because some council in the Catholic Church decided that they're going to include those in that book. I don't even think they claim those books are inspired of God. Am I wrong there?
No, you're correct.
Okay. And so, when they don't, they themselves claim they're not inspired of God, why would we claim them as the Word of God? Well, the truth, I would not claim them as the Word of God. And if I'm going to stake eternity on it, I want to make absolutely certain that the map that I'm looking at is a map that's going to lead me to heaven and not some destination that man has come up with. Does that make sense?
But those first few books are, again, that that Moses wrote, that were written and inspired through Moses. Like I said, a lot of those writings don't say it. That says, yeah, the Pentateuch, right. Doesn't say that... Jeff says the law doesn't reference that, but we still recognize
it does, as part of... There are references to, and God said.
Mm-hmm. But there's several places where there's not, though, but we still recognize it. We still recognize and we believe it, and we follow it.
Well, if you want to follow after those books that do not claim to be inspired, and those that actually clue them in their Bible say they're not inspired, well, you've got every freedom to do that. But when they do not claim to be inspired, nor do I know of authorities that would claim that they're inspired of God, why on earth would you look at them as Scripture?
You make a good point, and that's one of the things I'm bringing out with church, Catholic Church leadership. So I'm still studying that, and I'm asking my question sincerely, and not to be testing or anything, just because I want to seek and know all the words of the Lord and follow it way that God would ask me to follow it.
You know what I have noticed in through the years, many times when I will sit down and study with someone and they're kind of really focused on a certain point, it is not what the Bible says that really causes all the problem. It's what the Bible doesn't say that usually causes the problem. And so it's that where our motivation is. John 7:17, Jesus himself said, if any man wills to do his will, he shall know whether I speak of my own authority or of God. I think I got that backwards. Whether I speak of God or my own authority. And so our willing heart has a lot to do with our ability to look and understand and apply God's word to his glory. And so
that's John 7:17.
John 7:17. Even Jesus himself said our hearts have a lot to do with that.
And one other little tidbit. When you think about Genesis, you were using Genesis as a reference. Note that Genesis talks a great deal about what was going to happen in the future. And so what you have is people like Paul, who is an inspired writer. He's recognized as an inspired writer. And he references the book of Genesis. He references what is contained there. So even that serves as an evidence. Not just the idea that he referenced Genesis in passing, but rather he referenced what is said there specifically, validating that it was, in fact, the word of the Lord.
Okay.
So I hope that's been helpful to you.
And by the way, concerning your statement earlier, I just did a search of how many times it says the Lord said in those first five books, mm-hmm. and that phrase is in there 309 times in those first five books. Okay,
well,
so
that's evidence right there. So
yeah,
I read the Bible every year.
Check it out for yourself.
Amen. I read the Bible every year, but there's still things I see in it each year more than I've seen the year before. So I appreciate your show and I appreciate your words, and I'm going to continue to study God's word.
Man. Thank you, Latalo. It's good to talk to you, and we sure appreciate your joining us today. Again, the number is 308-9564. It's time for us to take a break, and we will be right back.
We want to encourage you to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course. We made mention of this earlier, and we continue to stress this because it can be a help to you in your study of God's Word. Go ahead and call the operator standing by right now, 553-5157. That's 553-5157. There's nothing mystical about the study. It's just a guide that will help you as you go to the Scriptures. So you have a question, you have some Scriptures. You read the Scriptures out of the Bible, and then you ask the question. Now, no one is telling you what to answer or even how to answer except from the Word of God that you're going to be reading. And so that's what it's designed. It's designed to help people get people back to studying the Bible. Don't listen to the preacher. Don't listen to what your mama said. Don't listen to your brother or your sister unless they're reading directly from the Scriptures, and then you still want to see it for yourself, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God, hearing by the Word of God. You want to see it for yourself. You want to read it for yourself. You want to hear the Word of God for yourself so that your faith is not in man, but your faith is in God. So we encourage you once more, take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course that is available to you free of charge. So we're not going to charge you anything for that. The only thing that we want is for your soul to be in a right relationship with the Lord. That's the goal. So go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know that you're interested in signing up for the free correspondence course, a free Bible study in your home. Again, that number is 553-5157, 553-5157. To join us here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
We have Emma calling in this question. Emma, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us today, and we sure appreciate your question very much, although I don't think I can give you an answer directly to it. Her question is, how can some preachers claim to be a preacher and yet live in fornication? Emma, that's a good question. Because the truth of the matter is, God is not right now executing judgment. The day of his wrath is coming. And so right now he's reigning as the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world, and desires all men everywhere to repent and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so the day of judgment will come. Now, what we can be mindful of is what he says through his word. Do you not know, this is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And do not be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says, and such were some of you. So they have to repent of those things, turn from those things if they are to be washed. Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So we do not have to continue in those things. They can repent. But if they are continuing to do those things, please know God says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Emma, would you be surprised to know that that may not be the only offense? I know that we in society, we look at that and we see that hypocrisy and we think, oh, that's horrible. And yet, looking through God's eyes, he sees something else just as horrible as that. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some of you who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. Now here, God says in Galatians 1 that if somebody comes up with a different teaching than what God says in his word, they're going to be anathema. They just won't inherit the kingdom of God, certainly. Here it says they're going to be anathema, which is like a super curse. That's what's going to happen to anybody who gets up in the pulpit anywhere or on the street corner or even across your kitchen table, and they teach anything different than what God's word says, they will be anathema. And you might say, well, how do I know? Well, that's the reason you're listening right now, isn't it? To be able to look to the Bible, to find the answers from God's word, to let the Bible speak so that you can know. And all we'll do is direct you to what God says. Let me give you one little quick test. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, those people that became Christians there the very first day, they were told to know that Jesus is Lord and Christ. They were told to repent and be baptized. Everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the same day about 3,000 were baptized. Now, my question to you, is that what you see going on in the church that you're part of? I'm not talking about the vast number. I'm talking about what they did. That not only do they believe, they repent, turn away from that sin, and are baptized immediately, the same day. Even if it is thousands, find a way. The Lord will make a way. And the Lord himself will add us to his church, verse 47. See, we just don't see that going on today. The devil is going to make certain of that. It doesn't matter if they believe. It doesn't matter if they repent. It doesn't matter if they just confess. They're going to be still in their sin until they die with Christ in baptism. That should be done immediately. And we just don't see that going on. Thanks, Emma, for your question. See, I really didn't answer your question, did I? You're going to have to ask the people themselves that do it. But God says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, and Acts 2, verses 36 through 47. We sure appreciate it. It's time for us to take our next break. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and the information that you're about to hear, the correspondence course, is free. Do not leave this life without knowing what God says about how to choose to spend eternity. And it's not being taught commonly in our land, in most churches of the land. So don't you think you ought to find out what God has to say? Here's more information on that. And please know, even while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions right now to 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we are serious about the correspondence course. Please go ahead and enroll right now. There's an operator standing by at 553-5157. You may learn things from God's word that you've never seen before. Matter of fact, we just got a call where someone is actually trying to undermine what God says concerning the role of baptism and what God says about that. And so we're going to be addressing that next. But please know that you are, it's so important that you see everything God says in God's word and not just part of it or not just listen to a select series of thoughts that some human man-made doctrine would put together. And so please, let's let the Bible speak to all the questions that pertain to life and godliness. And thus, we will be able to show ourselves approved to him and not to some man or group of men or some church or system of belief. Because when we stand before God in judgment one day, nobody will be there. It will be God and me, and his judgment will be based entirely upon his word and not the word that somebody else says his word says. I think you know what I mean there. So let's let the Bible speak. Go ahead and enroll. It is free. You may lose nothing except your sins, and that's something to get rid of. The only way to do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So go ahead and call 553-5157, and we will be glad to send that to you, even in tomorrow's mail. Nick, you want to ask a question?
Sure. A call that was made earlier. Reference, I believe, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the idea of preaching another gospel. And the caller suggests that by adding faith or baptism to faith in Jesus is exactly, doing that is what we're doing. That is to say, we're preaching another gospel. And so, again, it has everything to do with adding baptism to faith. And so the real question is, do we find that in the Bible? And so I want to say thank you to the caller for calling in. Again, we really do open ourselves up for inspection, make sure that we're teaching the truth. And so, listeners, I'll let you be the judge of whether baptism is added to faith according to the Scripture. So here's just a couple of passages. The first one that comes to mind is Mark 16:16. Says that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, so what that Scripture says, belief, that word belief, and what you'll find, you make a study of this, that the majority of times you find the word belief or faith, those words are used interchangeably in the Bible, the same Greek word. And so it's the idea that he that hath faith and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. So what you have is the Bible saying that faith and baptism work together, not separate and apart. So again, you look at Mark 16:16, and then another passage is Acts the 8th chapter, where you have the Ethiopian eunuch hearing the gospel. The Bible says in verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now as he went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" So either you have Philip preaching another gospel, or something that Philip said suggests that baptism was part of the plan. So in verse 37, then Philip said, "If you believe." Now, there he goes with faith. So now he's adding baptism to faith. That's what he's doing. And then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and says, "I believe, I have faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And so as far as I can tell, looking at these couple of passages, it looks like the Scripture does, in fact, add baptism and faith together, or really it's faith and baptism, not baptism and faith, but it's faith and baptism as part of God's plan. So I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283-725-9283, or you can sign up for a correspondence course. That's available to you as well. And again, that number is 553-5157. I realize it's a lot of numbers that we hand out, but the goal is to try to allow you to get your questions in here any way you can, by phone or by text, and at the same time to make sure that you have access to the tools available for you to study. It's one thing if we're trying to force you or beat you over the head to get you to believe what we believe. We're doing something kind of strange and odd. We're saying, here's the passage of Scripture. You can go read it, and you can draw your own conclusion. Every person has to work out their own salvation. And so we encourage you to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course. That can be a help to you. That would be something that you would do on your own. Again, that number is 553-5157 to sign up for that correspondence course, 553-5157. Now, to call in your question to the station here, you can call 308-9564, 308-9564. Your question will be written down and brought into us. We are live, and so you can get that can happen for right now for you. If there's some question that you've been discussing with your a colleague at work, or maybe a loved one, or maybe even your preacher, there's some questions that you have. We had a live caller who says, that he's in discussion with seemingly some religious leaders on subject matters, and he's asking questions, and he's doing his due diligence to try to find out what God's Word says. Well, maybe you're in that same situation. You can call in that question on today's broadcast. Again, that number is 308-9564. 308-9564. If you prefer to text us, you can. Our text line is 725-9283. 725-9283.
We have Aida asking this question. Aida, thank you so much for your question, and thank you for calling. We certainly appreciate your being patient with us and your diligence to study God's Word. And so her question is, where is the passage where Jesus forgave the harlot of their adultery? And you will find this story recorded in John chapter 8, where this woman was caught in adultery, verses 1 through 7, 8, 9, 10, right in there. And you see the through verse 11, actually, you see the first 11 verses where this occurs. And so it brings out that she was taken in adultery. She was thrown at Jesus' feet. Verse 6, it says that Jesus knew they were testing him. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. And as he did, as though he did not hear, and they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it began convicted in their conscience, beginning with the oldest to the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And he has no one condemned you? And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you, and go and sin no more." And so he told her to repent, to go and sin no more. Now, that was under the law of Moses, and so now Jesus forgave her sins, obviously. It doesn't specifically say that there, and because he says, "I do not condemn you" as well. And so she went to go on and sin no more, it is implied. Aida, thank you so much again. That is John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. We are about to come to our next break. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast. We are honored to be able to take your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The thing is, the Bible Correspondence Course is a good tool for you to be able to search God's Word and to be able to learn what God would have you to do in order to be able to meet him one day. Yeah?
Well, Rick, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think there was a call that called, and we did not get a chance to answer the phone in time. And so we just want to encourage them to call back, and we apologize for that. Again, if you're calling and the phone is just ringing, we encourage you, just please let it ring. We are trying to be as diligent as we can to get the questions in and then answer the line. We really want your question on our broadcast. And we encourage you that as you call in, it's difficult for us to engage in dialogue, so we can't go back and forth as you're calling in. We really just want to get your question, get your name, get your question, and the location where you're calling from, and so that we can pass that on to those who will be answering those questions. And so we encourage you to call. Please call, but just know that, we have limited lines, and we need to move as quickly as we can in capturing the questions, because there are others who want to get their questions in as well. So please call back the ones that we've missed, and again, we apologize for that. It is time for us to take another break, and so even while we're at break, you can call in your question. The number to call is 308-9564. Again, that's 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. We're going to make mention again of the correspondence course, free of charge. It's available to you. So go ahead and take advantage of that. Again, that number, if you want to call the operator standing by and sign up for the free Bible correspondence course, again, that number is 553-5157. 553-5157. We'll be right back.
We are back live now. We do want you to know that we are serious about the correspondence course. You very well may discover things that you have never seen before. It is so very important that we look to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness, and that we do not, I repeat, We do not listen to what man says, and that includes us. Thus, I hope and pray that you are listening, that is, unless you're driving, with an open Bible in your lap, and that you are going to search these things out. And by the way, if you don't have the opportunity to write down the verses or to be able to have that open Bible right now, just wait a few weeks and you can download these right from our internet site. And every word is going to be on there and you can go back through this. We make ourselves vulnerable because we're going to put all the recordings out there and you can study these things. Because of the truth of the matter is, God's word is truth. It's not our words. And so it's so important that we see what God has to say on every question that comes in. And so please, you can go to our website simply by going to www.biblealone.com. And you can check us out that way. You can tune into the radio program each week through the live stream button. You can call right now and ask your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Or you can enroll in the correspondence course. It is entirely up to you. But by all means, may I repeat, do not leave this life unprepared to meet our God face to face. Because, understand, we all will meet our Lord one day. Every knee shall bow. And every soul will meet him in judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it makes it very clear. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body." So while we're in this body, this container, this vessel here made out of dirt, we're going to be judged by the things that we've done in this body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. "Well, I'm not such a bad person," someone might say. Well, we don't have the ability to determine what is good and what's bad. After all, have you not even noticed society today getting to the point to where that they're now calling some things that were a decade ago that were considered bad? Now these things are, some of them are considered good. Yeah, see, that changes. But God's word does not. When God says something is bad, it is bad. End of discussion. When God says something is good, it is good. Again, that ends the discussion. Because God's word is finite. It is final. And it will be that word, that message, that authority that will judge us on that day. And thus, we've got to study or give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to go to God's word on all the questions that pertain to life and godliness and what we must do in order to please God. And so let us make certain that we are ready, willing, and able to listen to what God says, no matter how painful it is. Yeah, I said that because turning the other cheek is painful. Going the extra mile, yeah, that's painful. Loving our enemy, oh, that is so difficult. Yes, God expects us to do some things that may be uncomfortable for us for the short order, but oh, will they be such a blessing to us in eternity. So let's let God be the one in control of our life, and let's quit listening to man. And thus, we must let the Bible speak. So call right now, 308-9564. The lines are available, so you'll be first in line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
I do. We have a very interesting question came in from Dan. Dan, we sure appreciate that you're calling in today and listening to the broadcast. Dan has a question about the rapture. And I guess the question is this going to happen before or after tribulation, or as I typically hear, the tribulation or the great tribulation? And then, so that's question number one. The second question has to do with Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, and Revelation chapter and Revelation 19 talks about the rider on the white horse. And perhaps the question is that the Antichrist? Is that the Antichrist? So We'll start with question number one, the rapture. Is that going to be before or after tribulation? So the teaching of the rapture would suggest that there's a whole teaching around what is called the rapture. And I'll answer this question this way. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. I'll say that one more time. The word rapture, as a matter of doctrine or a matter of this is, you know, all these fantastic events are going to happen, and it's called the rapture, that is not in the Bible. That's the first point I'd make. The second point for you to consider is what we read of it in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9 concerning tribulation. And so the general thought is that there's going to be great tribulation during this time or after the rapture. What you'll find in John in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John refers to himself as being their brother in tribulation. So he was already in the tribulation. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patient of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we believe the book of Revelation was written somewhere around 90 A.D., perhaps earlier or later, give or take. But we know it was written within the first century. And so so John refers to himself as being in the tribulation then. And so this tribulation that you hear most oftentimes is as something to come is not something to come, according to John. John was already experiencing it. And so I hope that's helpful. I know those are not the answers you're looking for, but those are the Bible answers because, again, the Bible doesn't speak to a rapture. And when it talks about a tribulation or the tribulation, early Christians during the first century, they were really going through it during that time period. Your second question about Revelation 6, verse 2, and Revelation 19, the rider on the horse is that Jesus or Antichrist. I get the impression from the text that it's Jesus. But, you know, I always answer questions concerning Revelation this way. The book of Revelation was written in a form of code, apocalyptic-type language. And we have to be very cautious what meanings we assign to what's being said, because in many cases, we're defining it based upon our own knowledge or what we think it is, by contrast to the actual real answer. For example, I'll give one example. In Revelation chapter 1, it talks about in verse 16, this image that John saw. He says he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. Well, here it depicts this picture of a sword. Well, what's a sword? Well, if you were to ask me that 18 years ago, I'd tell you it is a device that the Lord is going to use to destroy the evildoer. But as a result of studying the scripture and letting the scripture decode what the sword is, like you'll find in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, that the sword is actually the word of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so I caution, as we study the book of Revelation, make sure that we're not assigning meaning to these descriptions that are not found within the pages of the scripture, or we're not getting caught up with others who are taking a little bit from over here and a little bit from over there, and they're putting it together. They'll pull some pieces out of Daniel and they'll glue it together. The next thing you know, you've got a whole entire doctrine called rapture that is not in the Bible. You don't find, again, that word rapture in the Bible as a means of here's what the end of the world is going to look like. And so I share that with you because I'm extremely concerned that many people are running after this, and it's not within the pages of Scripture. I hope that's been helpful to you. As was mentioned earlier, when a caller called in and says by teaching faith and baptism that we were teaching another doctrine or another gospel, to teach rapture as a wholesome doctrine out of the Scripture, now that's teaching another gospel other than what we see within the pages of Scripture. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. The choice of how to communicate with us is up to you. The question that you would like to ask is entirely up to you. But the answers are going to come from God's Word as we let the Bible speak. So please, do not miss out on your opportunity to get your Bible question in right now. The lines are available, 308-9564. The lines are available, 308-9564. We're just about ready to take our last break, and so please go ahead and call in your question now so that we can fully discuss your question and go through what God's Word says on that subject. And so please go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. And if those of you that are interested in having home Bible study, that is a study where you can take it, and anytime you choose, you get up in the middle of the night, you can sit down with an open Bible and study through this course. And then once you fill it out, be sure to send it back to us. We will grade it and send you the next lessons. We have several courses of study, and thus you're able to go through and learn more and more about God's Word. There are several of you, we have thousands that are on courses, but there are several of you that have gone through well over a half a dozen different courses, not just lessons, but courses. You know who you are, and we're thankful for your participation. And again, any one of them would be able to verify that we never ask for a penny of contribution. Please just put up your money, put up your pocketbooks. Do not send us your tithes and offerings. We are happy to send you the treasure that God will never take away from you. He has preserved His Word now for 2,000 years. He wants that Word to be put in our heart. The only way to get it there is by learning it. So why not receive this treasure? Why not enroll in the course right now? There's an operator standing by at 553-5157, and she will take this information, and it will be in tomorrow's mail. Free of charge. We're glad to do that. So don't miss out on this. Again, the number here, you can continue. If you already got the course, go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
I think we're having some challenges with our break, but not a problem. Again, the number to call, 308-9564. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the number, or you can sign up for a Bible Correspondence course at 553-5157, 553-5157. Again, that is absolutely free of charge, and it's our goal to try to equip you with the tools necessary in order to study God's Word for yourself. I think throughout the course of the broadcast today, we've gotten some feedback, and I know some of the things that we've said has been challenging, but I hope that you are of the caliber of person that would go to the Scripture and read them for yourself just to make sure it does say what we are professing. And if it doesn't say, well, don't believe it. You reject it. But if it does say those things, then you must apply those things to your life and change the way you walk, change the way you talk, change the way you live, change the way you give. This is our last segment, so go ahead and get your question in, 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in this question. Does the Bible say anything about, and then they describe a sexuality activity that is not described in God's Word with their mate? They want to know about that. And the truth of the matter is, what God does say is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we read this earlier, that a rightly married husband and wife are not to deprive the other one of their body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it makes it very clear. It says, the wife does not have authority over her body but the husband, and the likewise the husband does not have authority over his wife, over his body but the wife. And so when it comes down to that practice, that is the prohibition or the instructions that God gives concerning the husband and wife. And so now that said, let me go ahead and give you another passage in addition to that is Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19 all the way through the end of the chapter. It describes the role of the husband and wife, how that they are to be submissive to one another, verse 21. The wife is supposed to submit to the husband as unto the Lord. And it also describes the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we can see that this relationship is very, very intimate and very, very close, and how that they are to be behaving toward one another in such a way to where that they are becoming one flesh and be able to experience the kind of joy in this life that is kind of a pattern or a parallel to Christ and the church, a oneness, a unity, a love, a compassion, a devotion toward one another that is just absolutely a taste of heaven. And so I know I went around that, but that activity is not described in God's Word. All we can do is just go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Again, those passages were 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 4, 5, right there, and then also Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through the end of the chapter. And you'll see what God says about the husband and wife activity and the kind of relationship of how it should be built. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. Hurry, call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak.
Can a heterosexual be friends with gays? So this is another question that came in today. So we do appreciate all questions as they come in. Can a heterosexual be friends with gays? It just really depends upon what do you mean by that. The only prohibition in the Scripture is not to condone sin. We can't condone sin of any kind. And the Bible does refer to homosexuality as sin. So we'll look at a passage there in Romans chapter 1, which brings this to light. But I want to make sure that we're showing the right attitude. We love everybody. We ought to always love everybody. But we cannot condone any sin. And so that would be liars. That would be anyone that's in a improper marital relationship, adulterers. That would be murderers. And so any type of sin, you would treat someone that's in sin the same way you treat anybody else that would be in sin, would be the general principle to apply. But you just have to see it as sin because God does. So in Romans chapter 1, it talks about the Gentiles of yesteryear. And in talking about them, the Bible says in verse 26 that God gave them up to their vile passions, for either their women exchanged, it says, for even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. What in the world is he talking about? Verse 27 says, likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another. What in the world are you talking about? Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. You see, you have to try real hard to misunderstand what he's saying here. And so he calls this error. And so that's what it was. This kind of behavior is error. And then it's packaged in with a list of sins that folks were continuing in. In verse 29, he talks about how there were some that were filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife. And then he says in the last verse, verse 32, he says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And so all sin, the wages of sin is death. But he goes on to say it's not just the one that practiced these things. He says not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them, but also the person who would approve of the practice of sin, that they also are worthy of the same punishment. And so you have to explain what you mean when you say friend. Are you saying you're going to condone sin, or are you standing against sin? And again, the general principle is we treat all people the same, anyone that's in sin, the same. We respond the same way to sin. We don't condone sin. We reject sin. We have no work with the unfruitful work of darkness. We have no fellowship, with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. I believe that's in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And so we want to make sure that we're not fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness. Very good question. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. We have just about 5-6 minutes or so before the end of the broadcast. You might be able to get your question in. Go ahead and call 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. If you wish to text us, go ahead and text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. It says, sown seed to be blessed. Seed faith in the Bible. I guess is seed faith in the Bible. I just did a quick search of the way the word seed is used, And a quick glance through all the verses that I just glanced through, the word seed is used dominantly talking about your lineage, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, and such. That is the dominant way the word seed is used in the Bible. However, there's a figure that Christ uses talking about literal seed as far as seed being thrown into the ground, and then also makes a reference to how that the seed in the parable of the sower is the word of God, Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. And so there it's the word of God is the referred to as a seed, and thus it is a figure of how the word of God will grow. There's also the word seed is used in reference to how the kingdom of God is likened unto a mustard seed, Mark 4 and verse 31, and how that it grows and it starts small, yet will fill the whole earth. And again, that could be referring to the word or the faith that is taught from God's word will captivate or spread through the whole world, and that has been true. So now concerning your phrase, seed faith in the Bible, that phrase is not used in the Bible. The concept of letting the word of God be put in our hearts and grow, it is brought out in God's word there in Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4 and maybe some other places as well. And so the concept there is we should let the word of God be put in our heart and develop in us and bring forth fruit to righteousness. And thus, as God himself is the one that is germinating that seed, that is causing it to grow, Paul said in using that figure, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase in 1 Corinthians. And so there again, the word of God being planted and being watered and growing, God is the one that gives the increase. God suggests that in his word that There are the parable of the sower, four kinds of soil. There is the wayside, it never germinates. The rocky and the thorny soil, they germinate but are quickly destroyed because they do not let it grow deep and bringing fruit. And so it's so important that we let God's word be put in our heart and cause us to grow into what he desires us to grow into. That we should desire the sincere milk of the word, that we should grow thereby, 1 Peter 2. And verse 2, and many other references to showing how do we let it grow? Well, we must believe it, that it is the word of God, first of all. We must be willing to let God's word cause us to obey. For John 7:17, we mentioned earlier, if any man wills to do his will, he shall know whether I speak of myself or someone else's authority. And Jesus himself said that. We must make certain that we believe that it is in fact the word of God. It's not just the word of men. That's the whole purpose of this program. We need to forget about the personalities and just let God be the one that's in charge and let the Bible speak. Let God speak in our hearts, and that will bring forth the kind of fruit, if we believe it and are willing to do it, that will bring forth fruit 100-fold and in the eternal life to come. We will be blessed as well. We must have that kind of faith. We must let his word create in us that kind of spirit that we are willing to let God speak and forget whatever man has come up with that would counteract that. Nick, you have anything you want to add to that? Okay. All right. He shook his head, by the way. And so
I didn't hear that.
We want you to know we've come to the end of our program again, and we are so thankful that you have joined us today. Obviously, you are a seeker after God, that you desire the true happiness and joy and fulfillment that only God can give. Now, I'm not talking about the things of the flesh, the things that are short-lived, that are here today and gone tomorrow. I'm talking about the things that will bring forth the blessings of eternity, and thus the true happiness and joy and fulfillment will not come through seeking after physical things, our money, our position, our power. It will only come by yielding to our Creator's touch. How do we do that? Obediently loving him. How do we do that? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, Jesus explains it there, doesn't he? Obediently loving him, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've got to learn to be content with the things that we have if we want peace in this life. And thus, we can't continually be seeking after more and more money, more and more physical things, because that will leave us empty. My friends, we want to say you've got to find the answers from God's Word, not from church doctrines, not from experiences, not from emotionalism. But what we have to do is we've got to look into God's Word. We've got to see what God's Word, know that it is true. What we have to do is let the Bible speak.